Well, good weekday evening. Today is Thursday, April 4th. The time is 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you are tuned into the weekly edition of the Parents of Prodigals podcast. I'm your host, Brother Alan Weir. And I welcome you to this time when we come together for prayer, supplication, petition, and intercession on behalf of our unsaved, wayward, backslidden sons and daughters, some of which who perhaps have never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and some who perhaps have backslidden. This is a weekly live program which was born approximately 2 years ago, and it came about from the burden I had for my own two adult, unsaved children. I call them children, they are my children, but they're in their mid and early 30s, and they were raised in the church. They knew the gospel. They have ministers and pastors in their family. And that's all fine and dandy, and that's great. Train up a child in the way they shall go, and when they're old, they shall not depart from it. They were raised in the church, but they had never, ever accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They never had an actual personal encounter with Christ. Yeah, they went to church, and they went to Sunday school, and they read the Bible, and they sang in the children's choir, and they did all the things that many people who go to church do. But that's not the same thing as having a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, surrendering your life to him. And this went on for a long period of time, and they grew into adulthood. And it was during that time when I had a tremendous burden. When I think about the rapture, when I used to think about the rapture of the church and the great tribulation and the lake of fire and the glories of heaven, and I said to myself, I pray constantly for the deliverance and salvation of my son and daughter, that they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And out of my burden for my two adult children, and in consultation with the Lord and with other people, I began this podcast ministry to touch and agree with other parents who have children, sons and daughters who have never accepted the Lord or who have backslidden or wandered from the faith. And it wasn't that long ago when my son surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. He was parked in my driveway after going through a personal crisis in his life, and him and I said the prayer of faith, and he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. And now I disciple him, and I continue to pray and fast and intercede and enter prayer warfare on behalf of my adult daughter. She has yet to receive Christ as her Lord and Savior. But it's not just me. Many of us, many of you who are tuning in, may have sons or daughters. Maybe they're teenagers. They were involved in the church. They used to come to church with you, and they reached a certain point where maybe out of peer pressure, friends influencing them, or they lost interest in the things of God, no longer interested in matters regarding eternity. They want to go about their own way. And like the young man in the story of the prodigal son, want to leave and go about their business, putting the things of God behind them. Many of us have adult sons and daughters who are pursuing career and family and vocation, and those things are not wrong in themselves. What happens many times is our adult sons and daughters become preoccupied with the things of the world. They put career first. They put vocation first. Friends first. Pleasures first. Status first. They put the things of eternity in the background. The lake of fire is real. heaven is real. The rapture is actually going to take place. These are real places, real events. And we do not want our children to enter a Christless eternity. We don't want them to get left behind when the rapture takes place. We don't want them to go through the tribulation period. And so, we pray, we fast, we seek the Lord. Lord, send someone my son's or my daughter's way, maybe at their job, maybe a neighbor, maybe a friend, who will witness to them and lead them to Christ. Maybe a classmate if they're in school. We pray that we can continue to be salt and light before our unsaved children. We don't want them to live their lives without Jesus Christ. Many of us are parents of unsaved sons and daughters. Some of them are incarcerated, and we worry about them in those unsafe and dangerous environments. Perhaps a prison ministry will reach out to them. Some of us have unsaved sons and daughters are in drug rehabs, struggling with the strongholds of addiction, the demonic strongholds of addiction. Others of us have prodigal sons and daughters in alternative lifestyles, or they've turned to Eastern or different religions and away from the gospel. Or maybe they have turned to the occult, or again, New Age beliefs. Some of us have prodigal sons and daughters, and they are just out there partying, drinking, smoking, just living life, seeking pleasure, under the false belief that they have all the time in the world. They don't have to turn to Christ now. They're young, they're healthy. Everything is going fine. The sun is shining, things are going well. But the word of God says it is appointed once unto men to die, and after this, the judgment. We read in the scriptures a story about the rich young ruler living his life. And then the word of God says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. He went into eternity, believing that he could perhaps enter paradise or heaven. Maybe he thought he was good enough. Maybe he thought he did the right amount of good deeds. Or maybe he actually believed that he wasn't that bad. He shouldn't go to hell. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Good works can't get you to heaven. Religion can't get you to heaven. Going to church can't get you to heaven. Reading your Bible can't get you to heaven. In the Bible it says, Jesus said, you search the scriptures because you think in them you'll find eternal life, but it is them that testify of me. Jesus made it very clear that he was the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by him. And so, we come together every week at the same time, for mutual edification, encouragement, strengthening and comfort, and prayer warfare on behalf of those of us who have sons and daughters, and we want their names to be written in the book of life. We want them to surrender their lives to Jesus Christ, admitting their need for a savior. And fully trusting in him, taking self off the throne and saying, Lord, you take over my life. I know I'm a sinner. I need a savior. I confess my sins. Take charge of my life. I want to go to heaven. I want my name written in the book of life. That's our prayer for our prodigal sons and daughters. This is a live podcast, and as always, we welcome your participation and input in it. If you're listening live on the Podbean app, there's a phone icon you can click on. I'm not the most tech-savvy person in the world. I do remember my dear brother Jamie showed me how to navigate this. And if you desire to be live on the air, click on the phone icon and I will see that you are trying to get through and we will patch you in. Maybe you'd like to share a scripture that God has spoken to you through. Maybe you'd like to share a word of encouragement that'll edify someone who's listening. Maybe you have a testimony. The Lord is moving in your life and the life of your prodigal son and daughter. Something you have to say and share can bless and edify and strengthen someone that really needs a word of knowledge and a word of encouragement. Maybe you have a prayer request. There'll be a point in time in our podcast. Our podcast is all about prayer for our prodigals. And when we enter the time of prayer, we'll bring the petitions before the Lord. If you have a prayer request, there is still time to get it in. You can type it in. If you're listening to the Podbean map again, you can type it in and we will see it on our screen. If you don't want to mention the details, that's fine. God knows the details. We don't want to embarrass anyone. We will respect your privacy and confidentiality. It could be a spoken, an unspoken request. God knows all the details. We will bring it before the throne of grace and present your prodigal son and daughter before the Lord for their deliverance and salvation. Wow, what a burden we have for our unsaved sons and daughters. These are the last days. Biblical prophecy is being fulfilled right before our very eyes. Now more than ever, we need to intercede on behalf of our unsaved sons and daughters and bring them before the throne of grace so that the Holy Spirit will convict them of their sin and their need for a Savior, and they will surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. We'd like to welcome listeners from a variety of locations. We have listeners right here in the United States, in the great states of New York, California, Colorado, Pennsylvania, North and South Carolina, Oklahoma, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Idaho, and Georgia. We have parents of prodigals who are tuning in Alabama, Maryland, Tennessee, Texas, Ohio, and Utah, Wisconsin, Virginia and West Virginia, New Jersey and Montana, Nebraska, Illinois, Minnesota, Louisiana, New Hampshire, Oregon, Washington State, Rhode Island, Indiana, Arizona, Michigan, Iowa, New Mexico, Kentucky, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Wyoming. Internationally, we have listeners in Mexico, Canada. We had listeners recently from Australia who are tuning in. France, Uganda, Brazil, the United Kingdom, Bosnia, Herzegovina, India, New Zealand, Germany, Zimbabwe, Tanzania, Japan, Ireland, and Russia. And Germany. I believe I mentioned Germany. We want to welcome all of you to the Parents of Prodigals podcast. Many of you are listening live from where you are. Now, there are different time zones, and I believe it is early morning, I believe, in the Philippines. I think there's a 12-hour time difference in the Philippines. So many people, because of the time difference, will not be listening live or cannot listen live. Perhaps they're working and their responsibilities don't allow them to listen live. They'll be downloading this podcast at a later time and listening to it. That's okay too. I'll say it again. As I've said many times, the Spirit of God can move just as mightily in a downloaded podcast as he can live. So again, welcome all of you within the United States and internationally to the Parents of Prodigals podcast. Before we go into our devotional, join me in an opening word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. We thank you. We all thank you, Lord God, for this time when we can come together. Ironing, sharpening iron, mutual encouragement and edification for the burden that we all have, the mutual burden for our unsaved sons and daughters. Time is short, Lord God. Our salvation is nearer than ever before. The rapture is coming. The lake of fire is real. The books are opened, Lord God. Let this be a time of edification, strengthening, encouragement for all who are tuning in live and at a later time. Let everything that's said here by myself or anybody else who perhaps may call in have your anointing on it, Lord God. Encouragement and strengthening. Bless this podcast. Bless this time. Bless the listeners, Lord God. Let them receive. Let me receive, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you. We don't want to take this time for granted, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The title of tonight's devotional is The Breaking of the Prodigal. The Breaking of the Prodigal. And our text is taken from the book of the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 19. Yes, the entire chapter. And I will give you a moment to find that scripture text in your Bibles. You know, in the time of the Old Testament, Egypt was one of the most powerful and longest-lasting civilizations and kingdoms on the entire world. It was powerful with regards to wealth, with huge amounts of gold and treasures that were plundered from other conquered nations. It was powerful with regards to trade and commerce, having a strong economy. It was powerful in military might, having one of the most formidable armies in the ancient world, which in turn made it powerful in political influence, being able to impose its will on other nations. It was also deeply rooted in its religious beliefs and various gods who played different roles throughout Egyptian life. The god Sekhmet was the goddess of war and destruction, who would assist the Egyptian military in battle. Bastet was the goddess who protected Egyptian homes from all harm. Thoth was their god of wisdom, whom Egyptians looked to for guidance in daily matters. Ra was the sun god. Osiris was chief of all the Egyptian gods. There were numerous other gods as well that were looked to for agriculture, prosperity, and overall well-being. And of course, the Egyptian head of state, the Pharaoh, was considered to be the human embodiment of all these gods, and as a result had absolute authority and power. In fact, it was believed that because he was the embodiment of all the gods, Pharaoh had the power of life and death, the ability to influence the weather, the crops, the economy, as well as all of the lives of all Egyptians. The most prominent role that Egypt played in the Old Testament was with regards to their enslavement of Egypt. Egypt, like Babylon in the Bible, is a type of the world. Considering all of this, you would think that Egypt would be the last nation you would ever think would turn to the Lord. But according to our scripture text in Isaiah chapter 19, that is exactly what is going to happen. Let's read our text together. Isaiah chapter 19. And this evening, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation of God's Holy Word to add fresh perspective on what's being said. Isaiah chapter 19. This message came to me concerning Egypt. Look, the Lord is advancing against Egypt, riding on a swift cloud. The idols of Egypt tremble. The hearts of the Egyptians melt with fear. I will make Egyptian fight against Egyptian, brother against brother, neighbor against neighbor, city against city, province against province. The Egyptians will lose heart, and I will confuse their plans. They will plead with their idols for wisdom, and call on spirits, mediums, and those who consult the spirits of the dead. I will hand Egypt over to a hard, cruel master. A fierce king will rule them, says the Lord of heaven's armies. The waters of the Nile will fail to rise and flood the fields. The riverbed will be parched and dry. The canals of the Nile will dry up, and the streams of Egypt will stink with rotting reeds and rushes. All the greenery along the riverbank and all the crops along the river will dry up and blow away. The fishermen will lament for lack of work. Those who cast hooks into the Nile will groan, and those who use nets will lose heart. There will be no flax for the harvesters, no thread for the weavers. They will be in despair, and all the workers will be sick at heart. What fools are the officials of Zoan! Their best counsel to the king of Egypt is stupid and wrong. Will they still boast to Pharaoh of their wisdom? Will they dare brag about all their wise ancestors? Where are your wise counselors, Pharaoh? Let them tell you what God plans, what the Lord of Heaven's armies is going to do to Egypt. The officials of Zoan are fools, and the officials of Memphis are deluded. The leaders of the people have led Egypt astray. The Lord has sent the spirit of foolishness on them, so all their suggestions are wrong. They cause Egypt to stagger like a drunk in his vomit. There is nothing Egypt can do. All are helpless, the head and the tail, the noble palm branch and the lowly reed. In that day, the Egyptians will be as weak as women. They will cower in fear beneath the upraised fist of the Lord of Heaven's armies. Just to speak the name of Israel will terrorize them, for the Lord of Heaven's armies has laid out his plans against them. In that day, five of Egypt's cities will follow the Lord of Heaven's armies. They will even begin to speak Hebrew, the language of Canaan. One of these cities will be Heliopolis, the city of the sun. In that day there will be an altar to the Lord in the heart of Egypt, and there will be a monument to the Lord at its border. It will be a sign and a witness that the Lord of Heaven's armies is worshipped in the land of Egypt. When the people cry to the Lord for help against those who oppress them, he will send them a savior who will rescue them. The Lord will make himself known to the Egyptians. Yes, they will know the Lord and will give their sacrifices and offerings to him. They will make a vow to the Lord and will keep it. The Lord will strike Egypt, and then he will bring healing, for the Egyptians will turn to the Lord, and he will listen to their pleas and heal them. We're going to stop there. There are three more verses, but we're stopping there for the sake of our devotional. Trusting in false gods, following false religions, following false beliefs, self-deception, trusting in one's own strength or status, and wisdom and arrogance. The list can go on and on. Now, while I'm describing Egypt, I can also be describing the mindset of many of our prodigal sons and daughters, who for these reasons and others still have not admitted their need for a savior, repented of their sins, and have surrendered their lives to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Yes, our prodigals are very much like Egypt. Misplaced focus, misplaced trust, misplaced faith in power, prosperity, and pleasure, or other things. In a previous devotional, we saw how before he became the apostle to the Gentiles, the man of God, Paul, was Saul, the oppressor and tormentor of believers. God had to break him down on the road to Damascus to bring him to the place of repentance. Right here in our scripture text, we see how God had to break down the Egyptian nation to bring them to repentance. And in similar fashion, as we pray for the deliverance and salvation of our prodigal sons and daughters, what God did to Paul and did to the Egyptians and will do, he may need to do to them, our prodigals, in order that they may realize their need for a savior. The eternal salvation of their souls being the most important thing to our holy God. But what could this breaking of our prodigals mean? Well, there are some comparisons in our text. Number one is the breaking of false beliefs. In verse 3, it says, "The Egyptians will lose heart, and I will confuse their plans. They will plead with their idols for wisdom, call on spirits, mediums, and those who consult the spirits of the dead." New Age, Wicca, the occult, tarot cards, Eastern religions, crystals, talismans, dream catchers, God will bring down the stronghold of whatever false beliefs our prodigals have turned to so that they can see the futility of their trust in them. Number two, the breaking of status and self-sufficiency. The breaking of status and self-sufficiency. Verses 5 through 10 of chapter 19 of Isaiah say, again, the waters of the Nile will fail to rise and flood the fields. The riverbed will be parched and dry, and the streams of Egypt will stink with rotting reeds and rushes. All the greenery along the riverbank and all the crops along the river will dry up and blow away. The fishermen will lament for lack of work. Those who cast hooks into the Nile will groan, and those who use nets will lose heart. There will be no flax for the harvesters, no thread for the weavers. They will be in despair, and all the workers will be sick at heart. Perhaps God may need to strip our prodigals of whatever resources of status or possession or self-reliance that they are preoccupied with, relying on, or take comfort in order to get their attention or break down their stubborn pride and self-will. Three, the breaking of trust in worldly philosophy for answers. The breaking of trust in worldly philosophy for answers. Verses 11 through 14 say, what fools are the officials of Zoan? Their best counsel to the king of Egypt is stupid and wrong. Will they still boast to Pharaoh of their wisdom? Will they dare brag about all their wise ancestors? Where are your wise counselors, Pharaoh? Let them tell you what God plans, what the Lord of Heaven's armies is going to do to Egypt. The officials of Zoan are fools, and the officials of Memphis are deluded. The leaders of the people have led Egypt astray. The Lord has sent a spirit of foolishness on them, so that all their suggestions are wrong. Egypt was known for its philosophical and wisdom writings. Our prodigals may be placing their trust and seeking answers in things like self-actualization, humanistic positive thinking, or secular philosophies. But if necessary, God will destroy the wisdom of the wise and frustrate the intelligence of the intelligent. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. God will do all this, if necessary and more, if it will result in the deliverance and eternal salvation of our prodigal sons and daughters, so that the end result for them will be the same as the Egyptians in verse 21 and 22. The Lord will make himself known to the Egyptians. Yes, they will know the Lord and will give their sacrifices and offerings to him. They will make a vow to the Lord and will keep it. The Lord will strike Egypt, and then he will bring healing. For the Egyptians will turn to the Lord, and he will listen to their pleas and heal them. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow parents of prodigals, we all see the signs of the times and what is happening in our world today. And as I've said many times before, biblical prophecy is being fulfilled right before our very eyes, and our salvation is drawing nearer and closer than ever before. But while we anticipate and look forward to the next event on the prophetic calendar, the blessed hope, the rapture, remember that the Lord is not slack concerning keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, but he is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. If God could bring the Egyptians to the foot of the cross, he can work the miracle on our prodigals. You know, it can be a scary thing to tell God, Lord, do whatever is necessary so that our prodigals turn to you and receive you. But remember, God knows our prodigals better than we know them. He knows what it will take to bring them to the point of salvation. God's intention is not to hurt them. Psalm 145, verse 17 says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. We need to hand our prodigal sons and daughters over completely to the Lord, trusting him with his process, his timing, and allow him to do what is necessary to be done. The stakes are way too high. the deliverance and salvation of the souls, the eternal souls, of our prodigal sons and daughters. They couldn't be in better hands. Let's hand them over to the Lord. Continue to be salt and light before our prodigals. Pray and fast for them. Let's plant the seed. The Lord will give the increase. The Lord knows what he's doing. We don't know when, we don't know how, but we know he'll bring it to pass. Let's trust him completely, asking the Holy Spirit's strength to do that, even when it becomes difficult, when the enemy may whisper in our ears, it's not going to happen, it's taking too long, they're too difficult a nut to crack, they're beyond salvation, all lies from the enemy. No. All things are possible to him who believes. Again, let's trust the Lord to do what needs to be done. He knows what he's doing better than we do. Wow. Well, at this point in time, we've reached the halfway mark of the Parents of Prodigals podcast, and we're going to break into a musical interlude. But we're going to play two musical numbers that I hope will strengthen and encourage you. And when we return with the second half of the Parents of Prodigals podcast, we'll enter a time of prayer and supplication for the numerous requests that we have to bring before the Lord. There is still time to get your prayer requests in. Again, just type it in if you're on the Podbean app, and we will see it on our board, and we will lift it up before the throne of grace. Men ought always to pray and not faint. This is no time to become slack in prayer. Time is short. The prophetic clock is ticking. So without further ado, let's break into our musical interlude, and we will return with the second half of the Parents of Prodigals podcast. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Hey. Tender.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. That's the prayer that we all have for our prodigals, that the Spirit of God will softly and tenderly speak to the hearts and minds of our unsaved sons and daughters so that they will surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. Well, you know what? We're going to enter the time of prayer right now. We're going to do just that. We're going to pray. Lift up these requests before the Lord, that the Spirit of God would softly and tenderly speak to the hearts and minds of our unsaved sons and daughters. Again, there's still time to type in your prayer request, and we'll see it on our screen and bring it before the throne of grace. But without further ado, let's get right to it. The enemy doesn't want us to pray, but we're going to get right to it right now. Every week we pray for two young men by the name of Joshua, a warrior's name, right out of the Bible. And these two young men were struggling with the strongholds of addiction. Now, I'm not sure how one of these young men named Joshua is doing. I do believe he is, I think, in a program to help with his addiction. The other young man by the name of Joshua, I ran into recently, and he appears to be doing well. Excuse me. He appears to be doing well. I ran into him at church, and I spoke to him briefly. And so he has been coming to church. Now, of course, I'm not a mind reader, and only the Lord can see what's within the heart. But he seems to be doing okay, and he was happy to be in church and to fellowship with other believers. So we're going to touch and agree right now and pray for the working of the Holy Spirit in the lives of these two young. God knows the details, and he knows what's going on. So touch and agree with me right now for both these young men, both the name of Joshua. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for this time when we can come before you, the throne of grace. It's only through the blood of Jesus that we're made worthy. We are not worthy within ourselves. Lord, the blood of Christ makes us worthy to come before you, Lord, so we can come before you, Heavenly Father. And right now, we touch and agree. We pray for these two young men, both of them by the name of Joshua. Lord, you know the workings of their heart. You know what's going on in their individual lives. We don't know the details, but you know the details. You know what has been done, and we thank you and we praise you. You know what needs to be done, and you're working on it, Lord God. If it's salvation, bring it to pass. If it's deliverance, deliver, Lord God. Whatever needs to be done, Lord, in the lives of these two young men, let it come to pass, Lord God. Work in both of their lives, Heavenly Father. The demonic stronghold of addiction calling them back into a life of self-destruction. Lord, we pray for these two young men. Work in their lives. Move in their lives. Deliver. Save. Heal. Lord God, we commit them both to you, Heavenly Father. We praise you. We worship you. We know you're working even now as we're praying. You're working. By faith, we trust and believe in your wonder-working power, Lord Jesus. All we need to do is touch the hem of your garment, and miracle healing will take place and deliverance will occur. And so, Lord God, we stand in the gap for these two young men. Work in both their lives. The miraculous. The most important thing, that their names are written in the book of life. We worship and we thank you again, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Every week we pray for three young ladies by the name of Gabby, Valentina, and Angela. I do have an update. Now, at one point in time, it was to my knowledge, these three young ladies were struggling with a variety of issues, ranging from addiction to depression to low self-esteem. And I was in contact with Valentina's dad, a godly man, a man of faith, and he tells me that she is doing wonderfully. She has committed her life to Jesus Christ. Her name is in the book of life. She's going to attend the marriage supper of the Lamb and be raptured. God answers prayer. Valentina surrendered her life to Jesus Christ, And it's my understanding that she is being used of the Lord in a mighty way. And God is continuing to bless her, but we need to pray her continued strength in the Lord. I was also in contact with, I believe, the young lady Angela's dad, and I informed him that we will continue to pray for Angela, not just on Thursdays, but during the week. We lift these requests up, and I informed him that this will continue. It will continue. We need to be like the widow seeking justice from the unjust judge, being persistent. And we told Dad that we will be persistent in continuing to pray for Angela. I do not have an update with regards to Gabby, but again, we're going to touch and agree right now for these three young ladies. Heavenly Father, we give all glory to you, Lord God, for these three young ladies, Lord God. We thank you and praise you for Valentina's salvation, her deliverance and salvation. Lord, you saved her from the enemy's camp, delivering her. She's washed in your blood, Lord Jesus. She's your child. Her name is in the book of life. She'll be sitting with other believers in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Her eternity is secure. She's going to go to heaven. She has eternal life. Lord, we thank you and praise you for Valentina's salvation. But Lord, we pray that you continue to bless her. Bless her walk with you. Strengthen her. When temptation comes her way, to lure her back into old ways of living, Lord, silence. Silence the mouths of those lions the same way you silenced and closed the mouths of the lions in Daniel's den. When Daniel was in the lions, then you shut the mouths of the lions. Shut the mouths of demonic lions who are going to try to devour Valentina. Protect her. Guide her. Give her guidance, Lord God. Help her to increase in the knowledge of your will. Make her a woman of God. The woman of God that you're transforming her into, Heavenly Father. Continue to use her, but keep her, Heavenly Father. Keep her. The enemy will try to steal her away, lure her away. There will be a counterattack, but we cancel all contracts. The enemy has a contract on Valentina, but we cancel that contract and we cover her with the blood of Jesus. She's already covered. And so we pray for her strength. Help her to walk in a manner worthy of her calling and continue to use her in Jesus' name. Amen. We also pray for Angela and Gabby, Lord God. Father, you see the need, Lord God. They may not think that they need you, Lord. They may be going about their lives thinking they have all the time in the world. Lord, bring the things of eternity and mortality to the forefront. Let them both see that hell is real. Eternity is real. You are real, Lord God. Shut the mouths of people who are keeping them in the world, telling them to do this or do that. Remove all worldly influences in their lives and send people their way who will witness to them and be salt and light. No matter who it is, Lord God, a friend, a neighbor, a peer, no matter what vehicle you choose, Lord God, a Christian song, Lord, let godly influences come their way. Speak to them, if necessary, at night, in a vision, in a dream. We commit them both into your hands for their deliverance and salvation. Save these two young ladies, Lord God. The stakes are too high. We don't want them. Their families don't want them to enter into the lake of fire, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And they'll spend all eternity. Lord, rescue them from the enemy's camp. Deliver and save. Bring them to the foot of the cross where they'll both surrender their lives to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you and we praise you. Amen and amen. We received this request not that long ago, and it is from a mom. I won't mention her name. I'll respect her privacy. It's from a mom who is in Australia, and she has two daughters, Lily, 21, and Ruby, 19, and both of them were brought up in the faith. They were worship leaders in church. One of them did 3 months of Bible evangelizing, and they both did Bible studies to the youth. Unfortunately, over a year ago, they both chose to leave their faith, and they went out nightclubbing and into the world and all its lures. And mom states that she's been crying and praying and trying to find new faith to trust in the Lord. She asks that we join with her in prayer for their speedy return to their first love, Jesus, and that their names be written in the book of life. And she's humbled to find this podcast. Well, mom, like I said, I won't mention your name, but God bless you. We're going to pray for you, and then we're going to pray for these two daughters of yours. Touch and agree right now. No delay. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for praying moms who are interceding on behalf of their children. Women of God, Lord, give this mom strength. She's shedding tears, tears of burden for her daughters. Wipe away her tears. Dry her tears, Lord God, and drop the assurance in her heart that you love them. You love them more than she does, Lord, and you know what you're doing. Dry her tears away and drop the assurance in her heart that you're working. You know what needs to be done. They're in your capable hands, Lord God, under your protection. We place both these young ladies under your covering, Lord God. Heavenly Father, they're out in the world. They're doing what they want to do, maybe smoking or drinking or partying. Heavenly Father, disillusion these two young ladies in the things that they're doing. Give them a distaste for the things of the world. Convict them of their sin. Return them to their first love, Lord God. Let them see the emptiness of what they've returned to. A dog returning to its vomit. That's what's happened here. Lord, give them no rest. Bother them at night. Convict them. Nudge them. Disturb them. Weigh them down. Do what needs to be done in their lives, Lord God. We call them up by name, Lily and Ruby. Convict them both of their waywardness. Prodigals who have wandered from home. Let them both be on the path back home to the faith. Deliver them from the enemy's camp. The enemy has deceived both of them back out into the world. Lord, send a rescue mission. Angelic Special Forces to launch an angelic commando raid, rescuing these two young ladies from the enemy's camp, the same way Abraham rescued Lot. Rescue these two young ladies from the deception. Silence the voices of deception and lies. We rebuke the forces of darkness that are at work in their lives, tricking and deceiving them into believing falsely that this is the good life. It's not. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Put these two young ladies back on the narrow path, Lord God, the path that leads to salvation. We commit them both into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to welcome a listener who's tuning in right now. I believe it's pronounced Anaz has tuned in. Welcome to the Parents of Prodigals podcast. I pray that you be blessed. Every week we pray for a dear sister who came to the Lord. She was actually, I guess you could call her the first fruits, the first convert as the product of our podcast. My dear brother Jamie, not that long ago, brought his daughter before the throne of grace. And China was in bondage. But praise God that it wasn't that long ago. Actually, it was over a year ago, close to 2 years ago, actually, when we first started this podcast, that my dear brother Jamie contacted me and told me that his daughter China had surrendered her life to Jesus Christ. She was delivered, and now she is saved. And so, Bob, we want to pray for her continued strength in the Lord. Touch and agree with me right now for China. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for praying parents. Parents who stay on their knees and stay before the throne of grace, who are praying for their children. And Lord, We pray for China right now, Lord God. We thank you for her salvation, that you worked the miracle in her life, Lord God. You heard the prayers of the parents. You had your own timing and your own way of doing things. No one who trusts in you will be ashamed. Well, it came to pass, Lord God. You came through, Lord God. But right now, Heavenly Father, we prepare, we pray for the demonic and satanic counterattack that the enemy will definitely launch to lure China back into the world. Lord, we pray right now that you continue to bless China. Strengthen her in the faith, Lord God. Don't let her backslide, Lord. Keep her, Lord God. Strengthen her. Make her a prayer warrior. Make her a woman of the word. Help her to meditate on the scriptures day and night, Lord God. Make her the woman of God that we know you can turn her into, Heavenly Father. Even now you're doing it, Lord God. Turn China into a Ruth, a Sarah, an Esther, a Mary, a Priscilla, Lord God. Strengthen her faith, Lord God. When her faith begins to weaken, when her resolve and commitment begin to get compromised by lies of the enemy or maybe the weakness of the flesh, Lord, reinforce her. Strengthen her, Lord God. Make her mighty, Lord. Fill her with your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Give her an upper room experience, the fire of the Holy Ghost burning. Like the old Christian hymn says, Lord God, fire, let fire be shut up in her bones. Give her Holy Ghost zeal to live for you, consecrated, sanctified, and holy. Help her to withstand the temptations of the enemy. Give her wisdom. Give her guidance. We commit her into your hands, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. You'll keep her. You'll protect her. Put spiritual barbed wire all around her. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for China and for strengthening her. In Jesus' name we pray, my God. We thank you. We thank you by faith ahead of time. Amen and amen. Every week we pray for a young man by the name of Johnny. And Johnny is the adult son of a dear sister who is tuning in right now. And Johnny, of course, according to what I understand, was struggling with some strongholds, a stronghold of addiction. But the greater need is Johnny's salvation. Johnny knows the gospel. His mom, who is listening in right now, dear sister, we're going to lift Johnny up in prayer. We're going to pray for you because we know you're still praying for Johnny. And then we're going to lift Johnny up in prayer. Touch and agree with me right now for mom and her adult son, Johnny. Lord God, we praise you again. We thank you for praying moms, staying up at night, staying on their knees, reading your word, claiming your promises, Lord God. Strengthen this godly woman, this mom, who is lifting her son up in prayer every night and every day, praying without ceasing and believing you for her son's salvation. Strengthen her spirit, strengthen her in body as well, Lord God. Give her sweet sleep tonight. Let the peace that passes all understanding keep her heart and mind, Lord God. Help her not to be anxious for nothing, but continue in prayer and believing and trusting, Lord. Johnny's in good hands. And right now we lift Johnny up in prayer, Heavenly Father. Lord, you see exactly where Johnny is right now. You see what he's doing, who he's with, what he's thinking, what he's saying, what he's involved in. Lord, sweep away the old life and bring Johnny to new life. Deliver him from any stronghold that is keeping him from turning to you. Silence, again, Lord God, silence deceptive voices. Silence the lies of the enemy, the lies of temptation. Whatever it is that's keeping him from turning to you, Lord God, remove it. Remove the obstacles. Remove the obstacles, Lord God. Soften his hardened heart. If it's hardened, soften it. Open up his eyes, Lord God, if he's refusing to see. If he has a closed mind and doesn't want to hear the gospel, Lord, illuminate his mind. Let him see he needs a Savior. He's on his way to hell. His life is empty without you, Lord Jesus. Make this real to him. Reveal yourself to Johnny. Reveal yourself to him in a mighty, powerful way, Lord God. Deliver him and save him. Lord, we want his name written in the book of life. You want his name written in the book of life, Lord God. And so we pray for Johnny's salvation. We thank you, Lord God. We know you're working even now. It's a process sometimes, Lord. You're working. You're working in Johnny's life. We know the testimony is going to come in. We know that you're working. Even when we don't see it and don't feel it, you are working, Lord God. Thank you for Johnny's deliverance and salvation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We received this request a while back. It's from a mom who has a daughter named Margaret. Now, Margaret says that her daughter was saved several years ago, but has struggled with an alternative lifestyle most of her teenage life. And now the daughter is 20 years old, and she's moved away. And now she's caught up in an ungodly relationship. We pray, Lord. Mom says that she wants us to pray that this stronghold be removed and replaced with the truth. Wow. In fact, this mom goes on to say that they started a Prayers for Prodigals prayer group at her church once a month for hurting parents. Well, you know, we're going to touch and agree with you, Mom. And we're going to pray for your daughter right now. I know exactly what it is you're going through. Touch and agree with me right now. Heavenly Father, again, we pray for praying moms, all praying parents, Lord God, who are lifting up their children out of the burden for their souls, their eternal souls. None of these parents, none of us want to see our children enter a Christless eternity. And so, Lord, we thank you and praise you for praying parents. But help us all to continue to stay on our knees and not faint and be persistent, not giving any legroom, any ground to the enemy, not getting discouraged or feeling down, to continue to pray. And right now we pray for this young lady by the name of Margaret, Lord God. We lift her up in prayer, Lord God. We come up against the demonic stronghold of this alternative lifestyle. Right now, we call it out in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Heavenly Father, work the miracle in the mind, in the heart, in the soul, the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Let it begin to work in Margaret's mind. Lord, you are the ultimate heart surgeon, the ultimate brain surgeon, Lord God. You are a miracle-working God. What seems impossible to us is totally possible with you. All we need to do is believe and trust in you. Right now, we confess and we step out in faith that we trust you, Lord God, with Margaret's deliverance and salvation. Bring it to pass, Heavenly Father. Lord, we cancel any satanic contracts against Margaret, Lord God. We pray that you send people her way who will witness to her and speak to her, who will be salt and life, salt and light in her life, Lord God. Lord, do whatever it takes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Like you did to the Egyptians, do whatever it takes to bring Margaret back to the foot of the cross where she recommits her life to you, Lord God. Deliver her from the stronghold and save her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Every week we pray for a young man by the name of Matthew. And Matthew's mom sent this prayer request a while back. We're going to continue to pray for Matthew. Matthew was going against issues such as suicide and occult involvement. And Matthew had some legal issues, and there were some other matters that were taking place. And mom, of course, like any parent, like the parents we just mentioned, again, is burdened for Matthew's salvation. But we're going to touch and agree right now for Matthew. Let's pray for Matthew right now. Lord, we just lift Matthew up before you, Lord God. Let every stronghold of the enemy that is making Matthew resist receiving you, pull it down in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Let all hindrances that are coming between Matthew's heart and the gospel be melted away by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you see the issues, Lord God, whether they're emotional or mental or whatever, Lord God, heal. Heal the mind. Heal the heart. Heal the soul. Let all things work together for good, Lord God. Mom loves you. She's a woman of God. Let all things work together for good so that Matthew, in turn, receives you. You may be using these circumstances to bring him to you, Lord God. Have your way. Have your way, Lord God. Matthew, you are the potter. Matthew is the clay. Shape him and mold him after your will, Lord God. Pound him. Wet him. He's on the wheel, Lord God. Do whatever needs to be done so that Matthew bends the knee, bows the head, and confesses you as Lord. Deliver Matthew from whatever is holding him in bondage. Deliver him and save his soul, Lord God. Let Matthew's name be written in the book of life. We commit him into your hands, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Every week we pray for a man by the name of Edgar. Edgar is the adult son of a dear brother and sister, Frank and Rose Hernandez, who attend Soul Purpose Evangelical Church. Edgar knows the gospel. He knows his parents are believers. But for whatever reason, Edgar is going about his business, living his life. And to my knowledge, he has not accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. Maybe he thinks he has all the time in the world. Maybe he thinks that he doesn't need a Savior. Maybe he thinks that he's good enough. All lies from the enemy. The enemy will have you believe anything except the truth of the gospel. Let's touch and agree right now for Edgar. Heavenly Father, we lift Edgar up before you. Lord, I don't know what's going through Edgar's mind. He maybe believes that he's good enough. If that's the case, Lord God, all of our good works, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Open up Edgar's eyes to see. You can't be good enough to get to heaven. Good works can't get you to heaven. Only the blood of Jesus can. Heavenly Father, melt away any self-righteousness that Edgar has in believing that he's good enough to get to heaven. Maybe he thinks he is reading the Bible, or maybe going to church on occasion. Maybe he thinks that he is not that bad. Lord, convict him. Open up his eyes to the truth of the gospel. Convict him of his sinful state, Lord God. Whatever he's involved with, whatever he's doing, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, we bind the strong man that is attached to Edgar's life. That's keeping him from receiving you, Lord God. There is a strong man. It could be a strong man of self-righteousness or a strong man of pleasure, whatever the stronghold is or the strong man is, Lord God. Bind him and tear it down so that all obstacles are removed that are keeping Edgar from turning to you. Put a burden in his heart to come to church. Speak to him. If he reads the Bible, speak to him, Lord God. Maybe a coworker or a friend or a neighbor. Let people around him who are Christians be salt and light. And in turn, silence the mouths of the ungodly. What does Psalm 1 say, Lord God? Blessed is the man that doesn't listen to the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. Lord, deliver Edgar from listening to the counsel of the ungodly that are advising him he doesn't need to turn to Christ. Turn him away from standing in the way of sinners, keeping company with them. And remove him from the seat of mockers, people who would mock the gospel and tell him, Edgar, you don't need to accept Christ. Silence those mouths and deliver Edgar, Lord. Bring him to the foot of the cross. We pray for his salvation. We pray against any spirit of destruction or deception in Edgar's life. We plead your blood over him. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And of course, we cannot forget, we pray every week for Texas Mom, a dear sister in Christ in Texas, who have been praying for her son on a regular basis. The son's name is Curtis. And it wasn't that long ago when Curtis surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. Christ makes all things new, and he made Curtis into a new person and transformed his life and blessed him in mighty ways. We all know that the enemy always launches counterattacks. Ground that is gained through prayer has to be held through prayer and by faith. We need to wield the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Let's touch and agree for this praying mom, Texas Mom, who's continuing to disciple and pray for her son. And then we're going to pray for Curtis. Lord God, we pray for Texas Mom, Heavenly Father, a woman of God who remained constant and persistent and persevered in prayer for her son, Curtis. Lord, bless this mom, bless her home, bless her coming in and going out. Like the book of Joshua says, Lord God, the book of the law shall not depart out of her mouth, but let Texas Mom meditate on it day and night, so that she'll prosper and be successful. Lord God, help Texas Mom to read your word and meditate on your word, Lord God, eating the scroll, pondering your precepts, being obedient, Lord God. Bless Texas Mom and her home, Lord God. Let your anointing of your Spirit rest upon this godly woman. And we lift up and pray for this young man by the name of Curtis, Father. We thank you for his salvation, for performing the miracle and doing the work, which Mom testified to in our podcast not that long ago, giving glory to you, Lord God. We pray for Curtis, Lord, for a hedge of protection, again, spiritual barbed wire around Curtis to protect him from all demonic and satanic counterattacks that would make him or try to make him backslide. We pray against any spirit of destruction that's going to destroy him or try to destroy him. We pray against any spirit of deception that will try to trick him or lure him back. Lord, if you haven't done it already, Lord God, get Curtis to a Bible-believing, Christ-preaching, Spirit-filled church. Let him seek out godly fellowship and godly acquaintances. Bring people Curtis's way, Lord God. Bring men of God Curtis's way to disciple him and turn him into a Gideon, a Joshua, an Abraham, a Paul, a Peter, a Samson, an Enoch, an Elijah, an Elisha, a Daniel, a Jeremiah, an Isaiah. Lord, transform Curtis into the man of God that you would have him to be, being obedient to you, serving you, being consecrated to you, being committed to you, being holy for you. Strengthen him with all power. Let grace and peace permeate his life. We worship, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, we've reached the end of our time together on this Parents of Prodigals podcast. We've gone past the 8 o'clock hour, and that's okay, as the Spirit leads. The next time we will be back on the air will be next Thursday, April 11th at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we have several things planned in our Parents of Prodigals podcast. We will be rescheduling, I believe, God willing, tentatively, it's the third Thursday of April this month, when we will have our dear sister Maria de la Cruz come on our podcast and give her testimony on what the Lord did for her life. Subsequently, we will have a Christian mental health therapist, a man of God, who does counseling from a Christian perspective using biblical precepts in his counseling services. Fred Jacoby is a mental health professional, I believe, with Cornerstone Counseling in Johnson City, just outside of Binghamton. And he will be on our podcast subsequently. We will be scheduling that and letting you know soon. And he will be talking about our prodigals and emotional and mental issues and other issues that our prodigals may have with the heart and the mind and the soul. You know, I would never dismiss that demonic entities are definitely at work in tormenting the minds of our prodigals and deceiving them. And of course, many of our young people suffer from emotional issues, maybe low self-esteem or depression or loneliness. The blood of Jesus can heal all that. And my dear brother Fred Jacoby will be on the air with us talking about the healing of the mind and the soul and the spirit, providing counseling, providing insight and ideas on how we can best help our prodigal sons and daughters, and maybe even help ourselves. That will be scheduled, and again, I will let you know. If you have questions that you'd like to ask this dear brother, submit them to the Parents of Prodigals website, parentsofprodigals.us. Now, he will be taking questions live on the air as time permits, but if you want to submit your question ahead of time so we can present it to him, that would tremendously help. But he will be on the air, and I'm sure that show will be a blessing as well. He will also be talking about drug and alcohol issues, emotional, mental, spiritual, psychological, the healing of the mind and the spirit and the soul, the stronghold of addiction. Again, our dear brother Fred Jacoby from Cornerstone Christian Counseling, joining us soon, and we will keep you informed as to when that's going to be exactly. In the meantime, I want to thank you for joining us at this time. This is Brother Alan Weir, encouraging all of you that if you are the parent or guardian of an unsaved son and daughter, and you live in New York, California, North Carolina, South Carolina, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, or Connecticut, if you are the mother or father or guardian of an unsaved son and daughter, and you want their names written in the book of life, you see the signs of the times, the prophetic clock ticking, and you live in Utah, Wisconsin, New Jersey, Montana, Louisiana, New Hampshire, Oregon, Washington State, Rhode Island, South Carolina, Arizona, Alabama, or Indiana. If you are the parent of a prodigal or wayward son and daughter, and you're burdened for their deliverance and salvation, and you live in Michigan, Iowa, New Mexico, Kentucky, Arkansas, Mississippi, Wyoming, or Nebraska. If you're the parent of a wayward, backslidden son and daughter, and you live in Mexico, the United Kingdom, Russia, Germany, Zimbabwe, Japan, Tanzania, Ireland, New Zealand, the Philippines, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Brazil, or Uganda. If you are the parent, the mother or father of a prodigal son and daughter who has left the faith, who has been lured away by the world, or has never accepted Jesus Christ and surrendered their lives to Christ as their Lord and Savior, and you want their names written in the book of life, you want them to have eternal life, you want them to be raptured, you don't want them to enter a Christless eternity and go into the lake of fire. If you are the parent of a backslidden, wayward son and daughter, and you are praying and fasting and trusting God for their deliverance and salvation, then continue in prayer, being watchful therein. And watch the road. Watch the road. Again, I say to all of you, watch the road. Your prodigal will be on it. Until next Thursday, April 11th at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, this is Brother Alan Weir on behalf of all of us at Parents of Prodigals, wishing you a good night. And God bless you all. Good night.